As the kings, as the kids go out, I'm going to ask the rest of you, if you would, pick up your Bibles or turn on your Bibles, and take out your message notes. If you're new with us, we study the Word of God. We want to not only simply know it, we would like to live it. So if, as the ushers are in the aisle, all you have to do is get their attention, and they'll provide those for you. And as you, since I didn't get to talk to you, we'll do it next week. And this is for the box. They're celebrating their anniversary. How many years? 28. You were quick on the draw. That's good. That's points. All right. So, if you've all got your message notes ready to go, you can see that we're looking at what is this church family supposed to be like as we are facing every day, racism and corruption here in our country. But before we go there, you know, I talk to the Lord all the time, and some of our fellows that come up here and open the Word of God to you, they like to pray just before, excuse me. Just before they preach. I'm preaching, or I'm teaching all the time, and I'm praying all the time. And but this morning, I just feel like I need to pray again before we open the Word of God together to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to lay on our hearts. So if you join me in this time of talking to our Heavenly Father. Father, this is really an important time in the lives of all of us because you're laying life out before us in such a way as to bring testings into each of our individual lives as well as couples and as families to see if we're going to stand up for that which is righteous, if we're going to live in such a way as to honor your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, as I begin, I want to thank you, first of all, for Sergeant Andrew Wright and your having kept him safe in the midst of our prayers last week and a half, as he was traveling back to Okinawa in those high seas in the Category 3 cyclone. We thank you that he arrived back to base safely. Again, we thank you so much for Private First Class Arvin Cummings making it through that very, very stressful time in boot camp. We thank you for Alexis and the sweet lady who is a sailor and who is thinking not so much of herself but her fellow sailors on her ship, and what they were going to be facing with this hurricane and afterwards as they would be in the lives of so many people devastated by this hurricane. May you continue to watch over them and keep them safe. And then, Father, we pray for the family of Sergeant Steve Owens. We pray for his wife and for his son and his two sons. We ask that you would encourage their hearts. And I don't know if they know you or not, but I pray at this time, if they know you, they will draw closer. If they don't know you, that they can sense your wonderful watch care over them. And we thank you so much for Steve's service as a deputy sheriff for 29 years. And then likewise, yesterday, Jose Vega and Leslie, I'm not even sure how to pronounce her name, both of them losing their lives at the hand of someone who wanted to kill police officers. And we thank you that there is a third officer, but he is recovering in the hospital. How we pray for Jose Vega's family, 8 kids, his wife, your tenderness towards them, you're drawing them close. I think of Leslie being a mom only 4 months, and now her daughter will grow up without her. But we thank you that her daddy has been kept safe thus far as a Riverside deputy sheriff. We ask that you would minister in just a wonderful, wonderful way in their lives. And we ask that you'll continue to keep our own law enforcement officers safe, as I think of Deshaun and Martha and Mary Lou. Please, may you keep that hedge of protection we speak about from Job around them. May they know no harm to them physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. So, Father, help us now to listen attentively to your Spirit through your words, and that we would be those soldiers for Christ, that we would step forward and offer ourselves as living sacrifices for Christ's sake, that we would be the catalyst within our own culture to see racism, if not come to an end, to be surely diminished in a great way, and as well as corruption in this country. So we pray these things together this morning in Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Now, I was reading this week in Ecclesiastes 3:11. I don't spend a whole lot of time in there. I don't find that to be a book that I personally, and that's not anything on him. I mean, he wanted us to have that book and to read it. But for me, it can be just such a downer. And there's enough going on in my world right now that can drag me down, and the Lord is doing what he does so well, and that is to pull me up and to be an encourager. But Solomon, he wrote, God does everything just right and on time. His time is not always our time cycle, right? But the truth of the matter is, he does everything just right and on time. And then he went on to say, but people can never completely understand what he's doing. And that certainly is your shepherd. I certainly can't figure out all that he's doing at specific times that are, I feel like I'd really like to know more about what he's trying to say. Now, as we began this series, I asked this question on page 1 of your notes. What are you reading, and who are you listening to? Or who are you listening to, and what are you reading? The question, I guess, that I have for you is, are you filling your mind with truth or with poison? It's a whole lot easier to fill our minds with poison, it seems, than with truth. If you want to be a wise son or daughter of the Most High God, the first thing you have to do is you have to listen. You need to take your copy of the Word of God, whether it's on your phone or your iPad, whatever. Or like us old folks, we have our Bibles on in the printed page here. But to read it out loud, that you can really hear what your Heavenly Father wants you to be hearing and from Him. In Proverbs, this isn't in your notes, but Proverbs 2, verse 6, it says, it is the Lord who gives wisdom. So if you were to read this to yourself, again, Proverbs 2, verse 6, and you were to make it personal, you would say to yourself, Here's the Lord, and He's the one who gives wisdom. Lord, here I am, and You say You want to give wisdom. I want to receive that which You want to give me. You see, personalizing the Word of God. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From Him comes knowledge and understanding. So, Lord, You want me to be wise, and I want from You what You want for me. I want more of Your knowledge and understanding. You see, you don't get it from television. You don't get it from the internet. You won't be getting it from magazines. Wisdom, real wisdom, is going to come from Him whom we have come to know as our Heavenly Father. That's where wisdom comes from. The Bible says in Proverbs, it's not in your notes, 15 verse 14. You might want to write it down. It says, a wise person is hungry for knowledge, while a fool feeds on trash. Pretty pointed. A wise person. A wise person. Put your name in there. Are you a wise Ron, a wise Melvin, a wise Marcia, a wise Martha, a wise Susan, a wise VJ is hungry for knowledge. Is that you? Are you hungry for the knowledge that comes from your Heavenly Father? A wise person is hungry for knowledge while a fool feeds on trash. In comparison to your written word or your electronic word, what would you say? I spend more time on my phone, on my iPad, or in the word, whether it is printed or electronic. Are you feeding on the word, or are you feeding on trash? Only you can answer that. You can either feed on truth or you can feed on trash. Whatever you fill your mind with is what you're going to have coming out of your mouth when people ask you questions or when you're upset. If you see or are the victim of racism or corruption. You know, the old computer adage, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago now, I guess. Garbage in, garbage out. Right, exactly. If you want to be wise, you've got to feed day by day on the truth, not on trash. Every day, you're going to have a real meal, right? You're going to have breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or maybe you're going to have two of those. You're going to have at least one of those, right? And make up for the other two. We all feed. But some people in the church, they don't go to the Word on a daily basis to feed on what God would want to say to them. Their Heavenly Father has words for His children. He loves His kids. He doesn't like any more than an earthly dad or an earthly mom wants to see their kids getting beat up in the world or falling down and hurting themselves. But He wants you to come and check in with Him. He wants to feed you that which you need for your day, every day. Every day. There are three kinds of things that fill our minds, that we fill our minds with. You can fill your mind with poison. You can fill your mind with, let's say, junk food. Or you can fill your mind with looking at Annette, nutritional food, even though it may not taste all that great. But poison, you see, is the stuff that poisons our system. It will eventually kill us. It can kill our testimony as Christians by the things we speak, by the things we write, as we have learned in the last few weeks. It's bad for you. It takes you down. You see, pornography is running rampant, not just in our culture. It is running rampant in what is called the Church of Jesus Christ in America. And it's not just guys anymore. It's girls too. Lots of women are into pornography now. Not as many as the guys, but it's climbing. Poison. You know, we shouldn't be reading 50 Shades of anything. Some people are so open-minded in our church, and I'm broad brushing here, but there's so many of them that are so open-minded that their brains are falling out. Somebody just get elbowed? They say, you know, I can watch that stuff. It doesn't bother me anymore. Did you catch that? Anymore. Anymore. Poison has taken its effect. This person is sick. Morally. Spiritually. In trouble. Wise people protect their mind. They put on the helmet of salvation. They remember this great and awesome salvation that they have received at the expense of our Lord Jesus. And they put that breastplate of righteousness on to protect their hearts. And all of that, you know, comes here to us through the Word, meeting with Him on a daily basis. So keep the poison out of your system. Be wise, protect your mind, protect your heart. And then there's the junk food. You know, junk food just doesn't have any nutritional value. We read things, we watch things that are of no value whatsoever. I'm calling it this because we have Thanksgiving right around the corner. I'm calling it stuffing. You know, so many people at Thanksgiving time, some of you make great stuffing. I'm not knocking that, okay? You make great stuffing. But the thing is, people will get, wow, I've got to eat all these carbs, all of this stuffing. And then there isn't any room for the really good stuff, the meat. Then there's health food. I call it Annette's food. Not my food. But she makes me eat it in the office. Says the person who never wants to talk out loud in public. But the health food, it is. It's just that. It's good for us. And that's what the Word of God is. That's what will make us wise. That is what's going to give us the knowledge we need to deal with the issues of our day, such as prejudice, such as bigotry, such as corruption. And yes, we have corruption all the way from the president's Oval Office, all the way down to your own hearts and minds. Comes down to all of us, corruption. And what are we going to do about it? The Lord has much to say to us. So the first, thing we need to know. We need to be getting wisdom from the Word of God. And the more you develop this habit of going to the Word on a daily basis and feeding on it, the better off you're going to be, the less apt you're going to get trapped in some form of racism. And you'll be able to see the corruption beginning to creep up in your own heart and mind and begin to deal with it with the help of the Holy Spirit. As soon as you sense it, as soon as you sense it. So having said those things, I want to say this to us as we go forward, because there's probably some of it. I don't even like preaching this stuff. I don't like teaching this stuff, because I have had to confess and repent and repent and confess and confess and repent. But this is so healthy for us. Again, the Word, it's good. It's health food. It helps us to see our deficiencies. And it's not there to drag us down. It's there to say, see this weakness, Ron? I can help you deal with that. We just need to spend a little more time together and we'll get it done. And he says the same thing to you. Because God loves you personally. He loves you powerfully. He loves you passionately. He loves you with an unfading love, family. Even when we have made the mistakes that we are learning about. So if you look at your notes once again there at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Can we read this aloud together? Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we can read that and we can move right on to the next proverb. And that's what I used to do for years and years and years. But let's pause. Let's pause, because we are in this place that our Lord was pointing out to us last time at the bottom of page 2. It says, remember what Paul told us. The Holy Spirit told him to reveal to us in Philippians 4 and Romans 12. In Philippians 4, we saw six things that he gave us commands. No suggestions, commands. Commands that you and I are supposed to fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think on these things. And I asked you last week, what about these six things? Where did you find yourself in regard to these six things? Was there teaching that simply went on it and nothing was done about it? How did it go this week? What did you do about it? See, some of us get captivated by areas of theology. Some of us want to study, you know, certain things in all of history, you know, and life. But we don't want to take the Word of God and put it to practice in our lives. And this is nothing more than a Pharisee if it isn't lived out. It's no good to know it and where it is if we don't live it. We don't practice it. Remember, that's what he kept telling us there in Philippians 4. The things that you've seen in me, heard from me, the things you saw me doing, you do, you practice these things. And again, the church, you know, we read it, and guess what? We don't do it. There's a disconnect. The Holy Spirit lives in you to fuse the disconnect so that you can feel the passion of his love for you, and that he isn't this fantasy land God way out there somewhere in the nebulous of Disneyland. You know, he's real, and he wants to be actively involved in your life and conforming you to the image of Christ. We're supposed to be as we saw in Romans 12, offering ourselves as living sacrifices. Did we get up in the morning this last week, any one morning last week, and remember what the Spirit of God revealed to us? Here I am, Lord, I'm yours, I'm a living sacrifice. Use me for whatever you would like to do. Did we do that as a church family this last week? Will we do that? Will we continue to do that, those who are? Amen. Amen. Because in doing that, we won't be conformed to Satan and his world and his values and goals. We will be transformed into the image of Christ. And people will be blessed when you come into their presence, because you will be loving and kind and patient. All those things that Gary taught you when I was away. So in Proverbs 1:7 here, he says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is the Lord name calling, if you will. And he's not really name calling. He's describing a contrast of two kind of people, wise and fools. And he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? Do you ask yourself as you're reading through the Proverbs, what does this mean? The fear of the Lord. I'm supposed to be... What does the fear of the Lord really mean to me as his son, as his daughter? And it means that I'm recognizing the wonderful characteristics of my heavenly Father. And because I see these wonderful characteristics that are solely his, and some of those he has given to me because I am created in his image, he is saying here that I should be revering and trusting and worshiping and obeying and serving him. Put that down. Tommy's telling me I have 5 minutes. No, he's got to do that. That's his job, and also take the wrath of me. The fear here, again, as I say, we recognize the attributes of our Heavenly Father, and because of those things, we find ourselves revering him, worshiping him, obeying him. We want to serve him. That is the fear of the Lord, and that is the beginning, as he says, knowledge. And then he says, fools buzz. That's the Hebrew term there. Buzz. Isn't that a cool word? Buzz. It means to hold in contempt, to belittle, to ridicule. The fool will hold in contempt and belittle and ridicule the instruction of the Lord. But you see, if we are those people who fear the Lord and therefore have the beginning of knowledge, we won't be joining those who are bigots and prejudiced and corrupt, because the Spirit of God will be speaking to us. We will be these living sacrifices. We will have the mind of God because we are not being conformed anymore. We are being transformed. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, there in your notes, can we read that aloud together? Let's read it together aloud with strength, okay? For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So here we are reading it. We read it aloud. Our Heavenly Father just said through Solomon, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he said to the Granada Hills Community Church family, just now, he said to us, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where do we find from his mouth knowledge and understanding? We find it from teachers like Gary and Nestor and Chris Wright And those who teach in the adult Sunday school class, we receive it from whoever's up on the stage, but we receive it mainly from this book that has been compiled for us. We read it. And I would encourage you, as you've heard me say, read it aloud so you not only are reading it in your head, but you hear it with your ears. Have him speak to you, not just in the quietness of your mind, but hear it out loud. We learn so much better and so much more when things go through the ear gate and through the eye gate as well. And then we live it out. Well, got so much more. So we're going to come back to Proverbs 2:6, okay? And from there, we will key off for next time. So family, let's grasp what he's been trying to say to us today. We want to be the catalyst that God the Holy Spirit uses in our nation for the glory of our Heavenly Father, our wonderful Heavenly Son, and Holy Spirit. We want to be the catalyst. For us to be the catalyst, you and I, one, have to present ourselves before Christ and say on a daily basis, I'm rededicating my life to you. Here am I. Send me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Jesus, I am your brother. I am your sister. Holy Spirit, you live in me to help me to be what the Trinity wants me to be in this really goofy, messed up society in which we live. So here am I. And then he wants to meet you in the written or the electronic word. He wants to speak into your life. He wants to reassure you once again, look, you're still a sinner. I know that. I knew that when I saved you. I still love you. And I will love you for eternity. When I redeemed you, when you received me as Lord and Savior, I'm there for you. When you're down in the muck and the mire and you're making bad choices, it isn't like I'm walking away to the other side of the room. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you for eternity. So let's just do this right. I've been sharing through that simple guy, your shepherd, with clarity, this simple instructions from the Word. You and I together in prayer. You and I together in the Word. You and I living out what I share with you. Let's do it with our employer. Let's do it with our employees. Let's do it with our teachers. Let's do it with our professors. Let's do it with our peers. Let's do it with our family. Let's practice on our spouse. You know, be really, really sacrificially loving and pour out that affectionate love on your spouse. And you might have to call the paramedics to come revive them or something. But practice it at home. Are you hearing, honey? Honey? Is she awake? Let's pray, family. Our gracious Father, thank you again for Vince Lombardi and what he shared through that writing last week. Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Father, I know as a shepherd, just being one of your sons, I'd like to become engaged in this thing called excellence. That perfection thing just brings to mind people who are very legalistic, and I want to be a son who pleasures you. And I believe my brothers and sisters here this morning, likewise, they want to pleasure you. We've been remiss, and so we look to you. We look to you and your Holy Spirit to speak to us throughout the week. If necessary, convict us of where we're messing up. That's for our good and eventually for your glory. But also, Father, I know that your Spirit will be encouraging us at the same time, because he's a great coach, a wonderful, wonderful encourager. He knows that we are but dust, and we still struggle with the flesh, and he is ever so aware of the war that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Help us this coming week not to grieve him as much as maybe we've done in the past. We want to honor your son, Lord. We truly do. So please bring to mind the things you've taught us these last few weeks. May we truly engage and practice these things, so that we can be first string on your team, not sitting on the bench, not being utilized. Help us to be those people you send into the midst of those who've got it all wrong about thinking they're better than another human being because of their race or their intelligence or their economic status. Help us to love people where they are and cause them to stop and ponder, why is this person different from me? And we'll be able to share with them, we're different because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ has taken us out of the place where they are, darkness, sin, and placed us in the family of the Most High God, where light and wisdom and knowledge are coming our way and changing our lives, because we have come to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and are now learning how to love our neighbor as ourselves. For we ask these things this morning, Father, in Jesus' great name. Amen.